Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Hey, so before we get started, I wanted to talk to you guys about Disney Plus. Now, I know by now you've probably heard about Disney Plus, the new streaming service that includes Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. With all these amazing brands in one place, Disney Plus has one of the most incredible libraries in the entire streaming landscape, and it's all ad-free. From classics like Snow White to today's blockbusters like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame, the content on Disney Plus is truly unparalleled. And if all that isn't enough, Disney Plus even has originals like The Mandalorian, the first live-action Star Wars series. So don't miss out. Go and sign up today and start streaming and tell them Hayes sent you. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of The Awakened Soul Podcast. I'm your host, CEO Hayes. And if you want to follow me, you can do so at CEO Hayes, the CEO, H-A-I-Z-E. You can go ahead and follow the podcast at Awakened Soul Pod or at The Awakened Soul Pod. We have a dope show planned for you guys this week. This one is based around transparency. So I have a guest named V, who is a friend of mine, who actually is going to be asking me some of the tough questions. And this interview, it was weird being on the other side of it. And it's going to kind of force me to reevaluate some of the things that I do and as a friend, where my shortcomings are, everything. It's just a really great episode, like I said, built around transparency and just we've been pretty heavy around here. It's fun too, but it's very insightful. So you get a step inside my mind in a different way on this week's episode. So I'm really excited to bring you guys that. We also have been doing actually for the last about 3 or 4 weeks. It hasn't had an official name, so we do live streams every Saturday where we do help creatives. So make sure if you're interested in any gear, tips, marketing, any type of strategies, you tune into that. We have now named that Hanging with Hayes. It's just a simple thing. It's been about at sometimes like 15 minutes up until about an hour. So just some additional content to just bring and really, you know, help my creative folks. And that's what it's all about. Something that I've always said that I've been down for and that I like to do with this platform is help creative. So actually we'll start recording it as well, posting it on the YouTube channel. I actually posted this past week, so if you want to get a look at it, we actually took a look at different camera gear and the quality you can get out of different mics and things like that. So make sure you're checking that out as well. But that's really all I got at the top of this week's show. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take a break. We're going to jump right into the End of Mine and Hayes segment. I'll see you guys there.
The following is a Breaks Media podcast.
You are now listening to the best podcast in the world, The Awakened Soul, hosted by my daddy.
Welcome to my dark and twisted crazy ass mind. I am Hayes, and this is, as you guys know, for the viewers, the Awakened Soul Podcast. For the people who just listened to the podcast version, I already gave you guys a whole intro, so I'm not going to do that again. But this week, during the End of Mine and Hayes segment, I just have two topics for you guys. So We did have probable cause for a felony murder charges coming down in the Ahmaud Arbery case, which is something that we've been paying attention to in the culture. And we also, you know, we got the video that came out about it. And, you know, people are rightfully outraged by this. And when we talk about like the price and the worth of human, of black male lives, this is something that, you know, it of course, it got a lot of traction, thank God, and thank God that, you know, the Georgia Bureau of Investigations has had, you know, in 36 hours, they came down with charges in this after this has been going on. I think he originally got shot at the end of February. So the fact that we're getting some traction on this is good. What I want to make sure that we keep focused on is the trial as well, whenever that does come down, because we've seen it before in the culture. It's happened. We'll get convictions, or charges, but no conviction. So we need that to happen. We need everything to come through and on this for those that are following. In case I haven't really talked about it on this platform either, because as you guys know, and who've been listening to this podcast for a while, police shootings and that stuff really does get to me and it wears on me. And with already a pandemic going on, it's just I've kind of talked around it on different platforms, just because you got to know what you can and can't deal with. And I just wasn't in a place where I was able to talk about it in a conductive way. It would have just been a rant, a passionate one, but it would have just been a rant on why motherfuckers are allowed to do some of the shit that they were done, especially since nothing had came down up until that point. So we're glad that we're getting the correct movement going forward on this now. And yeah, we just got to stay on them about it. We got to stay and not rest until we get more than just what we're given. So the Georgia Supreme Court, it's on them now, and so we'll see how that continues to go. And I know I said I had two topics, I actually have three, so I'm gonna go ahead and get into the next one. This next one is really positive, just one that I want to talk about, and that is Magnolia, the new spokesbaby for Gerber. And I believe she is the first, she's the first adoptive child to be on this, and she's just a beautiful black baby. And you know, it's good. You know, we haven't had a lack of positive news so much during this pandemic that I really wanted to say that. So just Google Magnolia Gerber, her picture will come up, just a beautiful smile and her little head wrap and everything. And it's, you know, she was the winner of Gerber's 2020 photo search contest. And she's 1 year old. I think she's 1 year old as of yesterday when this announcement kind of came down. So just a good thing. And I'll put a link in the description for anyone who kind of wants to quickly find this. Oh, man, it's just really good. I know I said I only had two. I got one more. So this is coming down. I'm recording this the day after the Jill Scott and Erykah Badu battle. And what a great moment for the culture. And I know some people said it was boring because they did so much talking, which they did do. But I think for people who look into these battles outside of just the music, for an experience, for entertainment, for stories behind the scenes, like Erykah Badu told a story of when she saw Jill Scott perform. I can't remember what city she said it was in. Maybe it was L.A. And Jill Scott was like, yeah, I remembered it. I tried to see you backstage, but you had got out of there. Like, those are the moments that, as someone who follows music and culture and everything, that it was just beautiful to do. Jill Scott is a poet and she's amazing at what she did. And, you know, after watching that battle, I'm sure there was a couple of babies who were going to be made, if I'm just being 100% honest. It was a beautiful thing to get and listen to. And, you know, everybody showed out for it. Michelle Obama was in, like everyone who was in there, of course. I'm surprised that didn't break down Instagram, but, you know, maybe. Should I talk about Tekashi? You know what? No, I'm gonna save that. You're gonna hear, if you want to hear my thoughts on the whole Tekashi 6ix9ine. I know I tweeted something out, but if you want to hear my in-depth thoughts on that, you're gonna have to tune into the Breaks Radio. But to stay on Jill Scott and Erykah Badu, it was just beautiful to see these two queens do their thing, the music, and just, man, this Versus thing is just, I love the way that it's taken off, and I want to see more. And I talked about this on the Breaks Radio. I really hope that we do see more women show up and be able to engage in these battles. I think on the Breaks Radio, I pitched Eve and Missy Elliott, but there's really no competition hit for hit for Missy Elliott. But just just it's just beautiful. And I'm glad that something like this did come out of a time and was birthed because of, you know, people just needing to do something with the whole pandemic going around. And, you know, we're getting close to things reopening. We're going to see how everything responds to that. But outside of all that, I'm just really glad that we're getting things like this from this. So, but that's it. That's it on my end during the end of my hey segment. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take a break. You're going to hear from another Breaks Media podcast. And then on the flip side of that, you're going to hear the First Lady with the Cookie Chronicles before we get into the main topic discussion for this week's show. I'll see you guys right after that.
Hey guys, it's your girl Beck Easy.
Hi everybody, it's your girl Joanne.
Hey guys, it's Trell and this is
The team. And we want to welcome you into our group chat
where we talk any and everything from ABCs of sex to finding your passion.
Catch us every other Tuesday on Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and YouTube.
Because we lit.
Take that.
Damn.
Hey y'all, this is the First Lady here with the Cookie Chronicles segment on the Awaken Soul podcast. And let me just tell you, like, I had to make sure that I got one here immediately after this Erykah Badu versus Jilly from Philly versus battle. Now, let me tell you. So, initially, it's supposed to be a battle. Like, they go single for single, and people are supposed to vote on like who won and who had the best single for that round, whatever. Let me tell you, when I say this was not a battle, okay, like this Erykah versus Jill was, for one, much needed for the culture at this day and time, for this era, at this very moment. And two, like, it wasn't a battle. Like, they are both so great within their own right. Now, I'm not gonna lie, I do know more Erykah singles, and I think Erykah has more radio hits than Jill, but the ranges of their voice, the tones of their voice, the powerfulness of their voices are just amazing, and you cannot compare the two. Like, there's no way in hell that you can compare the two. Like, there was so much queendom and energy and love and light and peace and just any and everything positive within the 3.5 hours that they were on this live, that there was no hating. No one had like any underhanded shit to say. Even the people that were watching, like, they just, everyone was just in this vibe. Like, there's such vibes, and the compliments that they were giving each other and the way that they were talking to each other, it was just something that we needed to see for the temperature that we live in and for everything that's happening. And it kind of gave me a reminder of how we need to be treating everybody, and especially as a Black woman, like how we need to be dealing and speaking to other Black women. Like, there's no reason that we cannot all get along and be at peace. And they even spoke on it a little bit on the live, like, you know, back in the day when they first came out, a lot of other people in the industry and the fans were like trying to put them against each other. And they're like, you know, I don't think the fans and people know like how long we've really been friends. Like, we have a genuine love for each other and we talk all the time. And you can tell, like, it was real, it was sincere, it was genuine. It was just great, and it was the perfect end to my week. You know, for me personally, I'm not sure how many of you follow me on Twitter, but I had to go on a rant on Twitter the other day because I just felt so heavy. Like, I woke up and felt super fucking heavy. I think it was, you know, the fact that we're still dealing with COVID. What is this, 2 months now? Going on 3 months that we might have been going through all of this. Like, I know some people were working from home and sent home from their employers as early as like the first week of March. So it's been a while. And so it's been that. It's been the back and forth with work, you know, just for me personally in my office, and all the layoffs on my job and picking up extra work. And then you hear about the guy forgive me if I don't have his name right because I'm still on a high from the live, but I want to say his name was Ahmaud or Amir, the young black man that got killed in Georgia by the two white men, the father and son. Like, that was really heavy on my heart. And I kept seeing people like circulate the video of the shooting on social media. Like, while I do think it's something that we need to see, I feel like it shouldn't be shared so much. Like, you know, when people die, they still have family that are on social media, and for their family to like keep reliving stuff like that over and over again, I'm kind of on the fence of whether that should be shared via social media or not. I don't know. I felt super heavy. And so for the week to end on this Saturday with the Jill and Erica vibes and chemistry, it was just perfect. It was perfect. Like, I don't even feel the stresses from earlier this week anymore. Like, I'm on such a high that it's just beautiful. Like, I want to go back in my house and light candles and incense and sage and play their music until I fall asleep. And then wake up tomorrow on Mother's Day and play their music again as I cook breakfast and dinner for the family. Like, it's just, it was such a great thing. Like, I would love to see them in addition to some other great soulful neo artists that we have, like, go on tour. I think them along with like a India Ari or a Lettucey or like someone of those calibers, like, just come together and do a tour. It would be so, so dope. And I'm very proud that not only was this the first female battles that they did on Versus, but this was also the most watched. So that makes me super proud. My heart is just really happy and filled with joy right now. And I hope you got a chance to see it. If you did not, I'm pretty sure a shit ton of people have been like recording it from their iPads and their phones. I know some people were watching it on YouTube, so you could probably look it up on YouTube. You could probably find a few clips of it on Twitter if you type in hashtag Erica versus Jill or Versus. And if you go on iTunes, if you have iTunes, they have already, like, not even 10 minutes after the live was over, they already had the list, the playlist of the songs that each of them played throughout the battle. So, again, it was super dope. I'm very happy. I'm on a natural high right now from everything that just happened. And I hope you had the time to go out and catch it. This was not the first battles that they did. They did, the other one I caught was Teddy Riley and Babyface. Oh my God, that one was hilarious. Hilarious. But it was great. You might want to check that out. I also caught T-Pain versus Little John. That one was that one was great as well. So many hits. And they've done some before then, but those were just the three that I've caught. But you definitely should take the time out of your day, especially if you're African American, for the culture, to check those out. Like, so many people distributed so many great things to our people via music that, you know, we should take the time out to appreciate it. They also, Jill played a song for Andre Harrell, so rest in heaven and peace to Andre Harrell, who passed away on Friday. The cause is unknown still as of right now, but they did play a song that he wanted to hear when he heard that this Versus was going to happen. So they played that and everybody did their RIPs and, you know, all of that. So that was great. It was just beautiful. Again, if you didn't have a chance to check it out, search it on social media, search it on YouTube, and just vibe out, okay? Just vibe out and check out some of the other stuff. Hopefully they'll do a men's version of Neo Soul. Maybe I would like to see like an Anthony Hamilton and maybe a Music Soul Child, or a D'Angelo and Rafael Sadiq. I don't know, something soulful like this one, because it was just super awesome. But I just wanted to come on. I had to rant about that for this week. Catch me next week here on the Awakened Soul Podcast with the Cookie Chronicles segment. I will have something super dope for you guys. And follow me on Instagram at The First Lady and also on Facebook at Tia The First Lady. All right, y'all. Happy Mother's Day. And I hope you guys have a great weekend and an awesome week. And I will see you next week. Bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the main topic for this week's episode. And so, in an unusual situation that I'm putting myself in, I don't usually turn over the reins to especially the main discussion part ever in life. But a great idea came across my mind and I found the perfect person to do it. You guys are going to love her after this one. Miss V is in the building. What's going on?
Nothing's going on. Thank you for welcoming to your building. I am so happy to finally be here out of the darkness.
Never been in the darkness. Never been in the darkness. But so with this topic, this is all you. Me and you had a conversation, pitched an idea about transparency, just a open space, open dialogue to where you can ask anything you want. I have no idea. Anyone who's listening, I don't know any of the questions beforehand. I have not had a chance to prepare for this, which again is completely unusual for me. But yeah, so if you want to tell the people just a little bit about yourself before you completely take over, and then let's go.
A little bit about me. Well, I'm V. I'm 29. I'm a nurse. I live in Texas. And I had the privilege of coming across you, from a mutual Facebook group that I randomly got put in. And through a lot of conversations, I'm able to follow you on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and got to have a lot of pleasant interactions with you. In the sake of transparency, who would you describe me as? Who am I?
What do you mean, to me?
But yeah, like in general, like who am I? What made me the perfect person for this conversation?
Well, because as I said to you beforehand, you very quickly have become someone who calls me on my shit, for one. Which is always welcome, because I think honestly, and this isn't even to sound cocky, I think people like see someone who's in a position like me to like has a podcast and whatever, and like they kind of feel like how much can they really say to them or not. And you've never been that way. It's been like, nah, I'm gonna give it to you straight, no chasing. so that's always welcome. But then, like, talking to you about, like, your creative space and, like, what you have going on in your mind and where you think you want to go with it, like, the creative lane has just been like, all right, this is, like, the perfect storm of things to for us to wind up here.
The perfect storm. This is the perfect storm, and I'm really happy to start in this way. And I've actually had a lot of time to think about this. I think that I've had the version of this conversation we're going to have with myself and my closest of friends about 5 times to make sure that we really had an alignment, because I do listen to your pods, of course, and we follow each other. I see you in a social setting on social media, and I have the opportunity to talk to you and to know you outside of that. So I'm able to like see where those lanes cross and see some of those highlights. I love how articulate you always are and how sharp you are with your communications and how well you make it known that you communicate effectively all the time. I love how you're so well spoken and everything is always so thoughtful. And so to get to have this transparent conversation where people also get to meet you in a way I've come to I'm very disarming.
Fair
it's
enough.
It's great. Fair enough.
All the little stuff you just poked at me, but you know what? It's fair. I'm gonna let it be because I expected it. It is what it is.
Like it's just I've only had this conversation every day for the last 3 days prepping for this moment.
Okay.
So do you want me to go in with like the real good stuff, or how do you want to break down this conversation? Because I think one thing I want to say that we did not talk about is when you said, when you approached the idea to me, you said, mm-hmm. we're going to have a conversation about transparency, relationships, people, how we interact. Mm-hmm. And it's something that me and you commonly talk about. I pointed to Clover when I was talking to her the other day. I was like, for me, I think that we can all like give great advice mm-hmm. From an outside perspective. It's always easy to collect your thoughts. It's always easy to think and say what you would do if you were in that situation. But I really think for your listeners and for people who know you, I think the best thing is to speak about who you are and your experiences, because it lets people know, if I think that a man who is this age, who's accomplished this and this, if I think that that man would like these type of things, it's kind of like getting inside of that man's mindset.
Yeah.
So the best thing that we can do for transparency is to talk about who we are, to let people kind of use it like a pendulum of decision.
Yeah.
So for the first thing I would like to say, for you, where are you? Let's start there. And take it out.
I'm in a space right now to where I am, I'm trying to figure it out, right? Honestly, it's easy to think that you're ready. But things that I've noticed about myself is that I'm still very much like oblivious in a way that like makes me come off as like not caring sometimes. And it's like, and then when that's given back to me, like, well, you came off as you could care less, and it's like, no, that's not how I felt. So I'm still like, as much as I like to talk about being able to effectively communicate, I still think my emotional intelligence needs some work.
Okay. And so what makes you feel like, in what areas do you feel like your emotional intelligence can grow? And how would you advise someone to recognize, my emotional intelligence is not where it needs to be, mm-hmm. and I'm going to work on it?
Because I think it's natural to feel like if you would be okay with something, that everyone else should be. And that's kind of what, because not much really gets to me personally. And I think that I get so caught up in, oh, well, why is that a big deal? Like, because that it wouldn't be a big deal to me. So it's more of an empathy thing, like realizing that like my empathy is just not where it needs to be at all. And it doesn't come from a malicious place or anything. It's just because I'm different emotionally than other people. So I think I unintentionally expect them to be that same way with it. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. And then as far as like how other people can get there and come to that recollection, I think you need to pay attention at how people are telling you they feel rather than how you think that they should have dealt with it. And that's what I'm working on right now.
Oh, that is a really good one. I really want to like go back into two parts of that, two things I like about that concept is I think a lot of people have spent a lot of time in their life focusing on that golden rule, treat people how you want to be treated, mm-hmm. and they forget that the platinum rule is supreme and it supersedes everything, which is you treat people how they want to be treated.
Exactly.
So oftentimes I think that in dating and relationships, we think the regard that we have for ourselves is the same regard other people have and that they want. And what I find commonly is people don't like to be treated the way I like to be treated.
Yeah.
Probably because I like more. you know, I have that whole like regard is a very big deal to me.
Yeah.
And then also one thing that you pointed out is in the emotional intelligence, like knowing like you're not there and you don't have that and you need to express it better.
Mm-hmm.
Your level of awareness there is superb.
I'm good at being like, and that's one thing I'm really good at noticing the issue is just getting out of my own habits to change it. Like I've said this before, like on my podcast, like the thing that I think I struggle with the most is how I was raised to kind of not feel. So like that just of course became the norm to me, and I'm still breaking down like those teachings some. So yeah, I'm trying. I swear people, I'm trying. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I do want to say about you, and I don't think I have the opportunity to tell you enough, you are superb and wonderful at apologizing. Like your level of like ownership. There are a lot of people, like you said, I'll call you out. And there are a lot of people, if you tell them like you did this wrong, they're like, I didn't do that. And your first thing is always to come back and like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So you have some kudos there. You have some growth.
I appreciate that. And I really do. Like, I really do. Especially, well, if it's somebody, it has to be somebody I care about, because that's something that I'm bad at. Like, if I don't give a damn, I don't give a damn. But like when somebody that I legit care about is like, hey, you kind of failed me here, like that shit sticks with me. Like you got, like nobody would have any idea. Like reading that text. For example, it was like legit, like I sit there and I look at it for a minute, like damn, like regardless of anything, even if I thought I was just for how I responded or whatever, like for somebody that I care about to say that I failed them in a way, it's like, damn, man, like shit. Cause I wouldn't want somebody that I've opened up to and somebody who I've had these great conversations and experiences with to feel like I wasn't able to trust them in a minute, or I was trying to lean on them for support and they just completely let me fall on my face. That shit would make me look at them crazy. So yeah, that bothers me.
You know what? It's not that often that you leave me speechless, and that did. I feel like you're so caring, and sometimes it does not get conveyed in the way that you want it to be received. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important too. Like, I feel like I'm an extremely caring, loving person. And a lot of people don't know that. You would not recognize how loving and caring I am because some of the things I say are so, like, blunt.
Yeah.
And less than nice. But I always come from a place of love. And I think that you do too, very often. So coming from a place of love, something that you really love, your father. Mm-hmm. And that's a really big, you know, part of your identity. So how does that translate in the other areas of your life? And as far as dating and interacting with people,
I think like I still like I mirror almost everything he does. Like it's still kind of my blueprint, even when I don't realize that I'm doing it. So like I look at the way that my father had dealt with stuff and either and not always trying to imitate him. Like sometimes I look at what he did as the blueprint and say, all right, this is where I want to do something different. Like this is where I want to go left where he went right. So my father really still informs a lot of the decisions and the way that I go about most things as a man, as a father, as someone who like my work ethic and waking up early, like all that stuff, I feel like is me trying to imitate what he's done. And then like me trying to come to my emotional intelligence is me doing the opposite of what he did. And like me being really affectionate with my sons and stuff, like even them, like Alan, I still hug him and kiss him to this day. And it's like, I know I do that because while my father was a great father, if I would have tried to hug my dad when something was wrong, he would have been like, hey, put some dirt on it, bro. Get up off me. So like, I do it differently on purpose with my sons the way that than he did it.
So how is that, how do you think that they receive that? Is that a conversation you have with them about being open and about like not making those same mistakes, or how they should deal with moving into being someone's boyfriend, being someone's husband one day, because you're raising someone's future husband?
Yeah, we haven't. Me and Xavier this summer are due for a really, really grown-up man conversation, so that's coming. And I think it's time to talk to him about those type of things, kind of like what I did with Amaya with that episode. I really want to sit down with mm-hmm. Xavier and talk about how he views things right now, and even ask him where he feels like I may be failing him at. So, yeah, we're going to have that conversation. And, you know, I've kind of let him be in his bubble of oblivion because he's still very much a kid, even though he's 13 years old, which is just crazy. yeah, it's crazy.
13?
Yeah. No, he's 14. Damn.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, yes. He's 14 years
he's
old.
14.
God, like, yeah. So
I
it's
know
just,
that.
and yeah, like, and I think I've really tried to let him stay a kid for so long, but it's getting to the point now where I wonder if it's going to start being detrimental to him because he's going into high school. Like, as we all know, it gets hard. So yeah, I really want to sit down and have a really grown man conversation with him this summer.
Oh, the great thing is, I guess you have plenty of time to start prepping for that, thinking about how that's going to go. And then just knowing like you yourself became his father, you know, not too far from where he is.
Exactly.
You're already stepping into that level of adulthood. So that's something that's really major. And since that happened, how do you think that shaped your trajectory to where you are now becoming a parent early in life? Because like me, I have no children. So, you know, my viewpoint on a lot of things, sometimes it's evolved and sometimes mm-hmm. I'm behind where my peers are because I don't have those sacrifices that I've made.
Honestly, I think having kids so early saved my life. Like anyone who knew me around that time, like I was such a hothead and like just fought all the time, like just all that crazy stuff. And I think having my son that early, like let me know, because I like once my son was born and once I became a father, like I knew that it was no longer just about me, right? I had to be here as much as I didn't like care about certain things, I had to be here for him. There was never anything that I wanted to happen that would take me out of his life. So I think it calmed me down. It made me start looking at things more so than just in the moment, because I very much lived just in the moment and doing whatever I want to. So it helped me to start looking and projecting things and really wanting to set a better example for him. Because thank God I'm not the person I was when he was first born, because, yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah. I think we're all a little bad sometimes, though. So yeah, it's okay in my book. So with all of those things, what is it to really know you? Like, what does it take to really get to know you?
I think, like, most of my to get in my circle, you have to kind of show that I can trust, like, I can be vulnerable around you, like, because, like, all of, even me being able to, like, joke with people and like things that, like, are normal for people, or even make small talk, like, that's just not something that comes to me naturally with random people. So for me to, like, get close to people and build friendships, it has to be someone, we have to have either mutual interest. And then once that mutual interest is established, I have to feel like I can come to you and say, hey, I fucked up on this. What's your opinion on it? And you give it to me straight. So, yeah.
So is this making you uncomfortable?
No, it's not, in a way, kind of, but no. If it was in public, then yes, but yeah.
Really? Yeah. Is this what you expected?
I didn't know what to expect. I really did.
I really wanted to get into, like, some of the things that make you incredible, and it's so hard to get you to showcase them because you're such a great mirror of your audience. So, like, you're such a great, like, person at, like, encapsulating what the vibe is and what's going on and reciprocating it to your audience. And so, like, sometimes it's so hard, like, all the time I just want to, like, I'd be like, what are you thinking? Like, how do you feel about this? Like, what do you have to say? You're making me do it. You're the only person who does that to me. Like, you take me out of, like, this zone where I'm like, what do you have to say? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know you always feel me on the edge. I'm like, if my bubbles turn blue to you, you'd see, like, me doing, like, little, like, dots all the time. Like, just thinking, like, yeah. Did you really? And you're so calm. Even, like, you're so calm.
Yeah.
You got me bonkers.
I
you know that?
that calmness has honestly come with time, because, like, I was the exact opposite for so long in my life. I was the hothead. I was the one who just said stuff without thinking and just, like, whatever I said came out, and I'll let you decide how you're going to deal with it. But I think, especially with this platform and what I wanted to create, I wanted to create a safe space. And so for that, in the content that I'm covering, I always do try to stay calm. Like, I do have my times where I go on my rants or I get pissed off, especially if it comes to, like, discussing things with, like, cops and stuff. But I think, my calmness is just, it's weird because I don't know. I really don't know how to explain it, because, like, people who, like, know me have seen me outside when I get excited, know, like, especially when I get to talking real, you know what? That's what it is. Because I talk really, really fast when I get excited, and that sucks as a podcast listener to hear somebody talk so damn fast. So I think that's why I try to stay calm, is because I know if I get going, it's going to sound like Twista's rapping on this podcast. So
I feel like that when I get excited, I talk so fast.
Yeah.
So I'm like, even now, like, I'm like, I got you. I got questions. We're going to talk about this. And I'm like, no, slow down. Be calm. I got questions, CJ. I have questions. So where are we headed? Like, what do you see for yourself in the next, like, 5 years?
I mean, I really hope that, like, I can move away from what I'm doing, like, not, like, stop podcasting or anything, but, like, I've got this director bug in me, and I don't care if it's, like, hood movies, YouTube specials, web series. I really want to get into, perfect my craft with directing and make that something. And I want to tell this, like, stories of our culture. I want to tell kind of like how Friday was, like, a day in the life, and people, like, really, really looked at that as, like, this is what it's like to live in the hood for a day. I want to tell those type of stories, but at a more, not a production level, just, like, I just want to documentaries. I guess that's a great way to do it. I would love to do documentaries on, like, artists and creatives and stuff. Like, that's really where I hope I'm going in the next 5 years, or Radio is another thing that I hope I can crack eventually as well and get into radio, because I think my platform is set up for that as well. But ultimately, I just hope that I'm looked at as somebody who's helping our culture. Like, that's ultimately what is most important to me outside of like my kids and stuff like that and family.
Now, like with our culture and everything that's happened, how do you feel within our culture with this week's latest update in the Black community?
I mean, I really wish I could say that it's shocking. It's not. I mean, you would think that with the global pandemic going around that we wouldn't have to worry about that. But, you know, unfortunately, the fact that we haven't had more this year is more shocking than that we have one. Like, this is what, one of two or three we've had so far in 2020, which this time last year, we were probably at like six at this point. So
I couldn't even tell you at this point because we're just deer.
Yeah.
But that's the correct summary for that. Okay. Something else. I have a whole little plethora, and I'm just like, I have you here, and you're so CJ, which is the camera came on, and you turned up, and you showed up, and you have an answer for everything. You take a pause for a comfortability, and then you just go for it.
Yeah,
and that's a highlight to a lot of things about you.
Well, thank you for that.
That was one of my ironical compliments. It was not a compliment at all.
Why is it not a compliment?
Because, like, let me tell you why. We're going to break this down.
Okay.
Choose CJ's form. Here we are, and you have all the answers, and your communication is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a true translation, love.
How isn't it?
You remember that time on like before that scene where P. Diddy and that dude standing there and they're like staring at each other when he finishes?
And that's the thing is, I think me and you were both like that too. Like, it's something different when it's A, verbal, B, video, and then like live action. Like, the whole like written communication is great. I hate talking on the phone, but I think like it leaves less to be misconstrued when you can see someone's body language and like, because I can easily say like over a written communication, like, all right, yeah, I got it. And then you like, all right, well, did you really get it? Are you paying attention? But like, if I say that like in a conversation where we're looking at each other, it's like, yeah, I got you. And I understand. It's like, all right, I can see it in his face. Like, he's taking it in. So I think that's probably what that barrier is. I feel like you want to go in.
That barrier is. I do want to go in because I hate it. Because every time, like, I'm looking at you face to face, it is literally my definition of what a disarming man is. Because if I am texting you or I see you, I could be so enraged. And unfortunately for me, you have a very charming smile. And I like your voice. And you are articulate. So you like charm your way through everything that I could throw. So even though I can call you out on something, your responses are so good. I hate you. Like, I literally do.
Oh, that's deep. That's deep. No, but I completely understand how you feel on that, because it's like, all right, well, what don't you have the answer for? And it starts coming off as like, all right, is it genuine? Because if you have all the answers and they come so quickly,
then why did you do something wrong?
Then why did you still fuck up? And it's like, because I'm human and I didn't realize that I was doing it.
So to your response that you're human, that is an excellent question. If you have the answers, why do you still fuck up? Like, why do you still fuck up when you have the answers, CJ? Like, you have the answers. You can think them through. You can speak them. I've actually literally seen you say things in forums that you didn't do. And maybe I screenshot it. Maybe me and Clover talked about it.
I think it's because I'm somebody who doesn't very often ask or say, I don't understand. Because I take it as one way, right? And that's the part of the communication that I'm not good at, is confirmed, is saying, all right, so what I'm understanding is XYZ. I don't do that. I'll be like, oh, well, this is how I interpret it. I'm going to respond as if that's the way that it was meant. And then a lot of times it's like, Oh, and because me not being emotional and whatever, it's like I read something and I kick into like high intellectual thing where I'm like, oh, okay, so what you're really mad out is this. And then I'm like, well, and it's like, that's not fair. That is so, like, looking at it now, it's like, it's so not fair that I do that. But that is exactly what I do.
Oh, now we're to the good question. So because it's not fair, CJ, and for the sake of transparency, because it's not fair, speaking of people not being fair, is there anything you want to say about not being a fair person? Ears are open, homie.
Who, me?
Anything you want to say about, yeah, you. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not fair?
Yeah. You know, like, maybe sometimes, like, being selfish about, like, communicating, letting people in. I think we may have talked about an apology that didn't happen. So here we are.
Okay. That's fair enough. That is an honest interpretation of me. I am very, I think, because of, like, my past and everything, I am very selfish emotionally. And it's not always intentional. Sometimes I look at it like I'm guarding my opinions or whatever. And it's like, and I say this to other people, like, this, like, you're really making me think, because I say this to other people all the time, like, by me also guarding my emotions, I'm not letting other people's in. And then so it leaves them feeling like, all right, did you not see that I'm sitting here with a cut on my arm? Like, you so busy tending to that little chink in your armor that you like, yeah. So I do that.
Well, you kind of like summed up that answer, but let's backtrack it, because this is something that I had a conversation with my spiritual guide, Clover, at this point. I said her name like 10 times. Shout out to Clover Marie, my spiritual guide. When it comes to that concept, though, of feeling like, I'm like, for me, like, I have PTSD. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's something, like, I have PTSD from my past experiences with my ex, and you were able to see some of the things that I talked about. But like, for me, I know that it's not reasonable and it would not be fair for me to go into the world holding people accountable to his actions. Like, okay, well, because my ex was physically violent against me, I'm going to treat you like you're a physically violent person. And that's not fair. That's not reasonable. So when it comes to people who have been in situations where you felt like, I had a partner who was selfish and I had a partner who saw all the things that I had to offer and they took them and they did not replenish them. So now I'm going to go back into the world of other people and I'm going to withhold. Mm-hmm. How does that make sense?
It doesn't. It doesn't. And at all. It really doesn't. But, and you hit the nail on the head too, I think, because of, like, dealing, being in a situation that was selfish for so long. It's like, now I've unintentionally gone through and now I'm the selfish one. So, yeah. I said it once already.
I'm gonna replay this all the time. I'm gonna go to sleep to you saying it. Oh, wait. Can you just say I was wrong?
Oh, man, you having too much fun with this. You having too much fun.
I'm having so much fun. Like, this is, like, better than a virtual date. Like, this is much better. I'm having so much fun. I forgot I had a legitimate real question in the middle of that gloat. No, but like to say that, not to keep getting in on you. But with that whole concept of like knowing, like, so someone was selfish or I was in a situation, when it comes to thinking that other person was selfish in a relationship, who are you? Like, what do you think that person's perceptions of your actions were that allowed them to be comfortable being selfish, if that makes sense? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, because I'm pretty sure there are instances where someone could think like, oh, you're so selfish. But, oh, perfect example. Actually, I had two friends and there's a disagreement on their actions. Whereas one friend is like, well, if that's your friend, they should have never done this. And me, I'm like, well, that is my friend. And not only did they do that, but I also see the picture of what they're going through. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, like, you know, when you have people in the situation, you see someone doing something and you're like, oh, they're wrong against this person, but really, like, that person has their own story and their own situation. Yeah. And their own actions. Like, you have a reason why you feel like you're being selfish. It doesn't make you right.
Yeah.
But there are things that are going on within you and you still have to interact in the world. Mm-hmm. So what was happening in that dynamic that you can see in hindsight?
I think initial overextending, because I didn't, how can I word this? I overextended, right? And you know how, like, people now have the whole thing, don't introduce me to a vibe that you can't maintain, right? So I overextended to kind of prove my worth. And then that overextension just became a carpet that I just gladly allowed to be walked on, because it was like, all right, like, what do I look like now? Take rolling that carpet back up when I extended it to prove a point. So I think maybe me trying to prove a point ultimately blew back up in my face.
Oh, I get what you're saying. I think we've all done that, like early in relationships and years. I don't do that anymore. But that concept, like, you meet someone and you want to show, like, I deserve to be around you because I see things in you that are great. Mm-hmm. So then you go out and do all of these things and you create a baseline, like, they expect you to cook, they expect you as a woman, they expect you to cook, they expect you to clean, that person expects you to cancel your plans. And then you start doing all those things and you initially did them with nothing in return. You just did it. Yeah. And then, okay. So that's why you felt like that was selfish. So if that is what you initially did, is that person actually selfish?
I think it was, because when it got time to say, to have that conversation of, okay, and we did have it. We had the conversation of, all right, this is what's been happening. I understand that the standard was set by me, but I'm starting to run on E. I need some of that replenishing back in. And it was like, oh, no, you good. So once you make that, so like, if I didn't make the need and I didn't verbalize it, how can you expect someone to know? Like, we get caught up in like expecting someone just to know what we need and it doesn't happen. But then when it started turning, is like when you say, no, this is what I need. This is something that I realized. This is how my needs have changed and evolved. And then that person to hear that and be like, oh no, I ain't got time for that.
Oh, I think that's just like, now in dating, I see that as someone saying like, I'm just not for you, you're not for me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm willing to take it if you're gonna give it, but I'm not willing to return it. And I think like for me, I'm okay, believe it or not, I don't think relationships are 50-50. I absolutely don't think they are. Yeah. And I think that that's okay. It's just the person who's on the end that extended more has to be okay with receiving less.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like for me, I have this philosophy that I never give anything I'm not willing to lose. So I give what I'm willing to lose. And at the same time, I may give something that you can't offer. And I'm okay with that as long as what I want, I'm getting. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A lot of people kind of mess up relationships thinking that relationships are supposed to be 50-50 when they are not. It's not possible.
Yeah. The concept of everything being like, when I hear 50-50, what I think I mean by what I take 50-50 as is meaning I got you, you got me, and we're going to figure out what that looks like. But the idea of like everything being cut strictly down the middle, half on each side, that just is not realistic. It doesn't happen.
Oh, so speaking of that not happening, so we're in a couple of groups and we see this argument all the time. And I want to know your actual opinion. Paying the bills. Who's paying the bills?
I think
in your relationship, who's paying the bills? We can't put a baseline on what people should do.
Okay.
Let's be a pendulum. TJ,
who's paying
the bills in your relationship?
We both doing it. I got rent though. That's all I got.
Found out something new about somebody every day.
Yeah. To break it down, this is how I look at it. Right. I think this is the perfect situation. Is whatever, like, you agree upon what goes in the pool. So let's say 60% of each one of our checks goes into a pool that's for our bills like that. So that's not even saying like a number on it. That's like whatever 60% of yours, 60% of mine, of my 60% is way higher than yours. That goes back. Everything is in 50-50. Then the rest of that, you do whatever the hell you want with. That's how I look at it.
Let's see. Now we answer that question. We can just wrap this song up, buddy. Which is so funny because like my stance on that cracks me up because, you know, like I'm so like nonchalant about those things.
Yeah. I know, I've seen you going fire. I've been like, oh, you going off. Okay.
Like, I'm either, I'm not paying no bills. Like, what am I going to do? I paid the bills. Shut up.
That's funny.
Because I think this stuff is comical though, you know, like, just like that concept and like these stances, because no relationships are the same. For example, since we're talking on like how that concept for you, open relationships, yes or no?
Like, well, open, that can mean a lot of different things. What do you mean by open? Because there's like confined open. There's a type of open where as long as I don't see it, I don't care. Like, what type of
open? I feel like that's open. I feel like that's
a hall pass.
In the worst way. That's embarrassing. That's like, as long as I don't see it. So when someone tells you that your partner cheated, now you have a problem and they cheated versus you've been like, no, that was okay with me. Yeah. That's not open. I think open is open communication, mm-hmm. autonomy, and sexual freedom.
No, I'm not. The type of open that I'd be down for is, hey, we're going to go get that one today. That's what the type of open I'm down for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. If that works for you, I think that sounds awesome. Is that one of him?
No. Oh. Oh man, this is hilarious.
Let's see what else the people need to know since I have you here. What does the woman Google guy gotta know about you? Are we gonna just try enchanted tongue? You're just gonna bring that back full circle to here, because I saw it recently when I was ignoring you. I saw it, you know. Mm-hmm. So do you want to just bring it back? How awesome you are.
I mean, I feel like I don't have to talk about it because it's been talked about for me.
It's been talked about for you.
Yes, I don't have to talk about it. Okay. I have no idea how to respond to that at all. Wow. That I didn't expect that.
I had to, you know? Like, I recently came across the mention of that statement, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, so you won't talk about it. Mm-mm. What do you want to know? What did you think about leading up into this moment?
I mean, I've been nervous all day. I ain't even gonna lie. I'm like, all right, what if she asked this? Like, I really, because
what did you think I would have asked you? What is the oh my God.
I don't, and this isn't like just to kind of get out the answer to the question. I really didn't know because like there are very few people who know me the way you do, even in this short amount of time, but also like, there's very few people that I know for a fact will ask whatever the fuck they want to ask that comes to their mind. So it's like, I didn't know how, like, honestly, from when I woke up till about noon today, I legit was like thinking about it all day long. And eventually I just had to let it go. I had to be like, you know what? It's going to be what it's going to be. So.
It's going to be, so far, I feel like it's been very kind. Like, it's very easy. Like, it's always easy to talk to you. And it's so annoying because I know it just sounds like I'm always issuing a compliment to you, but it is very easy to talk to you, which also for me is very frustrating because it's so easy to talk to you. It upsets me lack of time I have talking to you because it's so easy. And, yeah, what's up with that, actually? Why don't I talk to you more? What's your issue?
I hate talking on, like, I hate, like...
I don't care.
I hate talking on the phone with a passion.
I know, but I live in Texas.
This is fair.
And not only is it fair, but I don't even believe in fair to begin with. So that's already a disadvantage. It didn't even have to be fair. Let's be very clear. I don't believe in fair. Uh-huh. Because shit ain't fair.
Life ain't fair. Yeah, you're right.
Life is not fair. Honestly, I believe in reasonable over fair.
Okay.
Because sometimes what's fair is not reasonable, and sometimes what's reasonable is not fair. Mm-hmm. Like, and I will say that I think sometimes I talk to you and I'm being reasonable, but I'm being unfair.
Okay.
That's my toxic trait. I am reasonable, but I can be unfair.
Okay.
Would that be safe to say?
I could agree with that.
You can call my bullshit back. Actually, you never call my bullshit. You never called the bullshit card on me. Mm-hmm.
Because I know even when at times your communication breaks down and you get caught up in being upset, I know that you don't intend for it to be negative. Like, you just are legit, like, however you're feeling, that's how you're feeling. And I never want to make you feel like wrong for feeling how you're feeling. It's just like, I do want to be like, hey, bro, like, really look at how you, like, really look at this for a second. Like, I need you to chill and look at this for a minute. But, I think
if you want to talk about somebody who was mad, like if you want to know who was hot, you should talk to me when last Tuesday. Woo! I was, yeah, you're right. I'm not. I'm sorry. Maybe.
See, and I'm good, and I'm better at looking at that and being like, all right, look. So I can say XYZ right now, but regardless of how I say it or what I say, it's going to be nigga, you tripping. So now I try to be like, all right, let's wait 24 hours and then test the water. And then like test the water again in 24 hours. And be like, oh yeah.
You mean in the eyes?
Yeah. like and then it's like, then if that don't work, what do I do next? You know, I crack a joke. I'm like, all right, let me do this joke real quick. Oh,
that joke did not land either.
All right, that joke didn't land either. Okay, so it's gonna be another 24 to 48. All right, that's cool. We give another 24 to 48. Then it'd be like, then at that point, it's like, all right, let's just jump into a conversation. So I just like act like nothing happened. Bam, 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 bam. Like, did you see this? The niggas acting stupid, XYZ. All right, the response to that was, all right, I'm going to say something else. And then it's like, then it's like, all right, so we bought four in. All right, now I'd be like, all right, either I need to say something about the other day or it's going to come up either way. Let's wait and see. Oh, there it go.
So it's because I'm trying to be healthy. So to be healthy, I'm trying not to have like those 24, 48, 72 hours. You see me there. I'm just going to comment on everything you say to me.
Oh, man, that was so funny. Like, I'm like, ah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's my negative trait? What's my negative trait, CJ?
That... you give a damn, but while you do give a damn, you can you have no issue giving a damn from a distance.
I do not see anything negative in that sentence. I feel like that was a high compliment. Like, I care, and I will care about you from a distance.
Yeah, and it's like I said something similar before, so it was me too. I'm like, I will love the hell out of you and never talk to you again. Like,
I'm over there. My love for you is so high in that corner, staring at you angrily.
Yeah.
It's good. You're putting out excellent content, by the way. It's so solid.
I appreciate that.
It is solid.
I appreciate
this some compliments that go around for the content, and just like breaking through that and having those really good necessary conversations. What would you tell yourself going into this year? We're almost 6 months into the year. Mm-hmm. We're almost into the national holiday. 6/6, my birthday. What would you tell yourself heading into this year about what's happened so far?
Man, stay away from people who don't wash their hands.
But buy toilet paper.
Yeah, stock up on toilet paper, mask, and get prepared to teach your kids from home. Like, that shit is, like, I have a whole new appreciation for teachers. That shit is crazy.
The school year isn't over yet?
Oh, no. Next week's the last week.
Dang, y'all got it hard with these children. Man. I think about getting a dog, though.
That's like, my dog is one of the worst kids I have. Like, he over there asleep right now, so, hey.
He's living the life.
He does. He doesn't have to worry about where his food's coming from. His bowl magically gets filled up. He gets water. He gets to eat whatever he wants to that the kids drop on the floor. Like, he doesn't have to worry about anything. All he knows is that he exists.
That's kind of what all of us do. We just don't know that that's all we're doing is existing right now in this space. Like, Nothing else is getting done. Well, is there anything else that we didn't touch on? Is there anything about you that we need to go back and highlight in? Is there any more transparency you're gonna give me? I got another question.
Okay.
What can I expect from you for the rest of this year?
A better friend. More someone who's more present intentionally. And that ultimately will show you that they have your back like none other.
I'm so excited to meet that friend. I'm so excited to know that person. Like, the capacity is there, and it's so strong that the lack of it makes me want to hop on a plane or with Corona to, like, keep.
Oh, man, I should have thought that the other day, too. I was like, man, we was in the same place, like, I would have opened the door to, like, yeah, nigga, bop, and then just walked up, like, and just being like, you know, I'm good. And then you'd be like, I'm good now.
Yeah. Everything about me is that I'm a pull-upper. Like, because I show up for people I care about. So my pull-up is always with, like, love behind it. But you have, like, your mythical pull-up come in the form of, like, the unsolicited text message to explain what I think.
Oh, and I always read those as, like, you just sitting there going, like, I'm like, oh.
They are. They are. Did I be like the 1 of 4, 2 of 4, 3 of 5? I know. I know my text message got like 1 of 7. Is that what it comes up?
Yeah.
It's like 1 of 7. Like, oh. Yeah. You like 1 of 7. For the record, on my phone, it's just 1.
That would be like, looking at that, like opening it up, I'll be like, you know what? Let me go get a shot. I'll be right back.
And I know, and because you're an early riser, my toxic trait is my long text message come at like 8 o'clock in the morning. You're going to start your day with this. I know that you're awake, and I want you to start your day.
Oh, man. And that's the thing with you, too, like, because you don't sleep either, like, it could come at any time. Literally, anytime.
When I remember and I have the words, you don't know it, but I want to kudos myself because I don't even curse in those messages.
You know what? That is a very good point. You don't.
I don't curse. I never use curse words when I'm actually angry.
But you have the mouth of a sailor when you aren't. Like, that's so weird.
It is terrible. If you want to know somebody who struggles, I struggle all day at work.
That's fair.
It's so many fuck shit, fuck this, bitch, whore, and my... You made me... I just did it. That's where I struggle the most, to be polite to people.
And that's so weird, because, like, seeing you, like, at the bar, like, interact with people and stuff, is like, you are one of the nicest people, but it's like that nice that it's like, I'm nice, but I'm waiting for you to step out of line, because if you do, it's about to be some shit.
But the thing is, I'm not nice and waiting on you to step out of line. I am nice, and I hope that you never take it there, because I just want to continue being nice. Okay. Like, when people say I'm a lover, not a fighter, I am literally a lover, not a fighter. I'm nurturing. I'm a nurse. I nurture. If you were in my house right now, I would fix you a drink. I'd fix you something to eat. I'd get some cigars. I'd put on a really good movie. I'd offer you a blanket. I'd set the temperature. I would literally be catering, because I'm a lover, not a fighter, but I fight. I fight.
Oh,
and
man.
I love to tell people things like, stop talking to me. Shut up. I bet your mom knows how to swallow now. Of course you feel that way. You've never made a woman come in your life. I mean, just regular self.
Have you said that to somebody?
Yes.
Oh, my Jesus.
Well, definitely. I only stopped calling men beta misogynistic cuckolds because that dude sent me that really disgusting video.
Well, damn. All right. Fair enough. That's life.
I'm evolving. I'm working on my progress.
Yeah.
You look good, though.
What you drinking?
Incredible Hulk. Oh. Hennessy Hypnotic.
Wow. I have not had one of those in easily 10 years. I now.
So I call this one Angry Hulk because it's a little bit darker than normal, mm-hmm. which means there's more Hennessy than... Yeah. Hypnotic, because I'm such a fussing lady. Mm-hmm.
Well, anything left?
I don't know. You edit this?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that's all.
Well, do you want to give them your social media, anything, so they can reach out to you after this? Because I'm sure they're gonna want to feel the vibe after this.
I'm an entire vibe. I'm everything on social media. I am the only VV, THEONLYVEEVEE. VV is so weird to spell.
It is.
It's so weird, isn't it? Yeah. I did that to myself.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been, I hope this has been fun for everyone. I hope you guys really did get a kick out of it, learned a little bit more about me and just transparency in general. This was, you know, it's been really deep lately. So to have one that's literally just fun and two people who love talking shit, doing their thing. But you guys know where you can follow me. You can follow me at CEO Haize. That's CEO HAIZE. You can follow the podcast at Awaken Soul Pod or The Awaken Soul Pod. And then lastly, you can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, theawakensoulpod@gmail.com. We are the number one podcast for the culture, and we're out. Peace. Hey, baby.
Boss should call. The world, it seems so very small, 'cause nothing even matters at all. See, nothing even matters, yeah. Nothing even matters at all. See, nothing even matters, yeah. Nothing even matters at all. See, I don't
need no alcohol. Your love make me feel 10 feet tall. Without it, I go through withdrawals. Oh, 'cause nothing even matters at all. Nothing even matters. Nothing even matters at all. Nothing even matters.
Oh, no. These buildings could drift out to sea. Some natural catastrophe.
Still, there's no place I'd rather.
Nothing even matters, no. Nothing even matters to me. No, nothing even matters. No, nothing even matters to me.
You're part of my identity. I sometimes have the tendency to look at you religiously. 'Cause nothing even matters to me. Nothing even matters. Nothing even matters. Oh, no, 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 no. Nothing even matters.
Oh, to me, to me,
to me,
to me,
to me,
to me,
to me. Oh,
to me.
Nothing even matters.
Don't matter to me.
Oh, no, no.
Yours never eat.